listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Oh, listening to the voiceover guy try and sing popular rock songs is like watching a mule meet its slow sinking death. But it's good fun and good fun radio. Also, there are calls to make Lotto easier for us to win. But be careful what you wish for. Phrases. The grand slam of phrases. 8 became 4 tonight. Congratulations to all the quarterfinalists. And in hindsight now, congratulations to all the semi-finalists as well. Good luck in the semi. Now you're speaking of a sandwich. Don't think that was a mistake on my behalf. It is obviously a pun. Changing in the language of language to the language of sandwich because I was trying sandwiches, not eating languages. But right now, step aside, UFC. The Pillow Fighting Championship will be available on pay-per-view in January.
It's mad bonkers.
Well, it's not that mad when you think about it.
That's quite funny, quite humorous.
Yeah, it is kind of humorous, I guess. The Pillow Fighting Championships will be streamed to a screen near you live from somewhere in Florida on January 29 next year. To be fair, pillow fighting has always been a combat sport, albeit one that primarily took place between siblings before irate parents came to break things up, and at slumber parties. See, here, that's the article's words, not mine. I can't vouch that I've been to too many slumber parties in my days, but I think mainstream media, especially in the 90s and noughties, projected a pillow fight like it was some sort of sexy thing girls would do at sleepovers and teen college parties. Oh, girls, time for a pillow fight. I don't know if that happened. And I don't know what was so sexy about it, to be honest. It was just people swinging pillows around. And then in movies as well, mainstream movies, you'd have that like that big pillow orgasm movie moment where the goose feathers just fly into a million directions like some sort of pillow pinata. Can't say I ever lived that. But now officially recognised pillow fight league sprung out of Toronto in the early noughties, hosting matches from homes that drew crowds eager to watch the then all-female sport. Each fighter also assumes an alter ego, complete with costume. Oh, there's a bit of thoroughfare. One particular fabulous name in the PFC is a name, Eiffel Power. And of course, they bring along their own pillowcases as well. I think I'd be Feather Locklear if I were to join the PFC. And I bet there's going to be a big onslaught of people coming through now, much like UFC, getting kids into like martial arts, a lot more signing up of BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Karate, Judo, etc. People will just emulate what they see on television. It's serious, explains Steve Williams, the CEO of the PFC. Oh, he's the Dana White of the pillow world, is he? It's hardcore swinging with specialised pillows. The official PFC website describes as professional pillow fighting as the perfect blend the art of pugilism in MMA fighting with the ancient weapon known as the pillow. I'm glad they're taking it slightly seriously because people are going to go into this little blind and go, oh yeah, I'll get into pillow fighting. That sounds like a fun way to make friends, a fun way to keep up some exercise. No, it's vicious. It is very vicious. A word of warning before you have these big dreams and leave your full-time job to become a professional pillow fighter. We had a boy in grade 3 that was unawares and he was just eating a fruit roll up or something. And then one of the bullies came from behind and used one of the cushions from Book Corner and just whacked him from behind. It was a coward shot with a coward's cushion. I kid you not, this guy hurt his neck so badly. He had to do 3 months of rehab. Little grade 3 boy. And his little tiny neck, his little pencil neck from one cushion. That was just a cushion. That wasn't even a pillow.
Danny, that is not dangerous. Cool at all.
Not cool. And I wish I'd said something at the time, but I was in grade 3 and didn't really have the foresight. But I'm saying something now. I'm calling it out now.
Well, at least it's becoming a sport. That way, you know, you can train for it. Because I don't know about you, back in my day of slumber parties, you know, if you had a bit of a pillow fight, it was a hard slog. I mean, it's not like the Hollywood movies where all the feathers go everywhere.
No, I don't think so. And I think it's probably good to lift the lid on pillow fights, pillow battles, 01333 53. Just information. Pillow talk, I guess, without the sweet nothings in my ear. What do people need to be aware of in the pillow fight? Have you had a pillow fight gone bad? Pillow fight injuries?
Any information for those wannabe pillow fighters? Pillow fighters!
01333 553. All right, younger pillow fights with your brothers. Any bad injuries? Anyone get a blood nose from a pillow? Can pillows draw blood? What pillow fillings need to be steered clear of? Don't know if pillow fights are as prosperous as they were in the late 90s, early noughties. I think that was the pillow's heyday. And to be honest, I blame pillow manufacturers slightly for that. With the introduction of more memory foams, etc., and less goose feather action, pillows have become harder. You get hit with some memory foam pillow, you may actually lose your memory. Get hit with a bamboo cushion, you'll be bamboozled for a couple of days. 13353, maybe some nostalgic pillow memories. Mick in Sydney, good evening to you.
Hey, mate. It was lounge chair cushions, mate. I used it as a ninja star, but pretty much.
Great. So what all downstairs cushions were used for from a young
You children? Know, my little brother used to eat a packet of Twisties on the couch, and I just felt it fun to go, Twisties everywhere, in his mouth, in his face, everywhere.
Yeah, cool.
He'd walk back to his room one night, you know, coward punch with a ninja star, in the back of his head, headbutt the door, bang.
Wow. Wow. And it sounds like you're...
Ninja with a pillow.
Well, it sounds like you're a black belt in ninja pillow. Yeah. Talk us through this pow, because is this just the one pillow, or was this a attack from multiple angles with multiple cush?
Oh, mate, I had about six cushions on the couch, so... Yeah, multiple ninja stars.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you get a man like Mick the Ninja on an ottoman with that many pillows.
Mate, I was accurate. We used to play games and put a bottle of Coke on top of his head.
Oh.
Okay, mate, I'll get that Coke.
Wow. All right, I reckon with enough training, you could have thrown one of these Death Star pillows and just got, like, the Coke bottle lid off. Just flick the lid off.
Should have. Should be an Olympic sport.
Unbelievable. Well, probably look at managing you for the upcoming PFC next year, so that's something to look forward to. Bring in the sandwiches. You know, I'm too ravenous. Bring in the sandwiches. I said, do you speak my
language? It's time for me to copy and eat your sandwich.
Yeah, this is exciting. Last night on the show, we called for your crazy sandwich combinations. Yeah, sandwiches that, to the naked ear, sound a little bit sus, a little bit disgusting. But you can't knock it until you try a sandwich. That's the number one golden rule. A gentleman's agreement. There would be no knocking last night on the show. Pure acceptance of sandwich combinations. What we now have are the three craziest sandwich combinations from last night's listeners. Freshly served and ready to go. I've never been looking forward to something so much in all my life. Three delectable sandwiches here that, I mean, to the eye, look appetising enough. They could go either way. Is this the act of a madman and his crazy combination and his delusion of his own mouth? Or has he stumbled across one of the perfect combos between pieces of bread? There are three different ones. We've got the Pete's sushi sandwich, the Michelle sandwich, which we'll get into on the contents of that in a minute, and the Mick sandwich as well, which is following the Big Mac formula of three pieces of bread, multiple layers. Producer Renee, you've posted some beautiful photos of all the sandwiches on the socials, and you've been preparing these sandwiches. You've been toiling away for the last hour.
Do you know what it is, Danny? You know when you go and buy fresh bread and there's something about the smell that just sends you a little crazy because you think, oh, how good is that? I could just devour the whole loaf.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to devouring these. Let's get to know the Pete sushi sandwich. This is what happened last night.
The sushi sandwich. Bread, nori, avocado, tinned tuna with the oil, the kewpie mayonnaise with the Spanish onion, chopped finely. Put all that together, you're eating a sushi sandwich.
You're eating a sushi sandwich. Detailed.
It's so detailed. And I must confess, last night when I was hearing it, I was like, this man's gone crazy. He's adding too much stuff. But when it's laid out on paper and when you see the open sandwich, there's real theme to this. It's sushi without the rice. Instead, with bread, it makes perfect sense that this could be a great sandwich.
Look, it's definitely the Aussie-Japanese sandwich put together, and I have to say that I was pretty impressed with the coach on this. All these photos are on the social media of Danny Lakey, so you can check it out. You can actually vote for your favourite sandwich, and if you want the ingredients, we can repost that too. Are you ready, Danny?
I'm ready to go, and I'm going to pull no punches here. If the sandwich needs to be knocked, it'll be knocked. If it needs to be celebrated, it'll be celebrated. I'm going to take
it. You weren't knocking the sandwiches.
No, you can knock a man's sandwich after you've tried the man's sandwich. That was the rules.
Glad we clarified that. All right.
I wasn't going to pre-sandwich knock, but I can always post-sandwich knock if indeed fit, but I'm feeling pretty good about this one. Big ass bite.
I'm just really interested about the sushi nori because it doesn't split. You've got avocado in your beard.
Basil.
For Ron, isn't it?
Now, what is the spice here? Is there some wasabi in the QP mayo? Is that what I'm tasting?
So, apparently the QP mayo is very, very popular. And the last one I got, sorry, I didn't tell you, I tweaked it a little bit. It's actually that mayo with wasabi.
Oh, it is. I was going to say, there is a hint of wasabi in it.
Yes. You got great. That right. But Coach didn't give that to us last night.
Well, Coach, maybe it's time to take a tweak because the avocado is really taking the edge off and it's just simmering around very nicely in the palate. In the words of Mark Holden, it's a bloody touchdown. It is a fan. It is. I'm not saying that. The seaweed in there, the crunch, the tuna, the onion, the kewpie mayo, the avocado. It's a great sandwich. It's a great sandwich.
Oh, yes. You are definitely not knocking this one, Lakey. But can you just take the avocado out of your beard? It's like it doesn't, you know.
Sorry about that. I'm just going to have to.
That's better.
Well, I'm rinsing my mouth out with a little bit of a palate cleanser because we move on to the second sandwich. This is the Michelle sandwich. The simplest, the least ingredients, but potential to go tits up very quickly.
Tuna and honey.
Just very straightforward. Two ingredients.
Now, from memory, Michelle couldn't stress enough that it had to be the oily Italian-style tuna. I can tell it is oily as it is seeping through the bread here. Honey and tuna. Not the mainstream combination that we've grown to hear. This is going to go one of either way. It's going to be a masterstroke like the sushi sandwich, or this is going to be knocked. One way or another, I'm about to find out.
It was really interesting making it. The smell and the combination of the tuna and the honey was really sweet. It kind of reminded me when you go out and you have cheese and honey together.
Mm. Now, the honey and the tuna, I'm not going to lie, that's an all right combo. The sweetness with the saltiness, we know things in the past that work. However, it's a little too dry.
Really? Do you think maybe just because it was prepped a tiny bit too early?
I think soak the tuna in honey overnight for extra moisture.
And I love a skin on a good sandwich.
My tonsil's gone erect. It's loving it. It's also pretty bloody good. It's a great sandwich. I'm not knocking it.
And you know what's so good, right? It's awesome if you're a tradie because, you know, I mean, you always got a tin of tuna, right? You can always pull over in 7-Eleven and get a bit of honey.
So very easy. This is the final sandwich. The one I'm probably most excited about.
Mate, I think I've got the best Australian sandwich ever. Three breads, butter, anchovette. You put your peanut butter, slap that on top. You put your Vegemite on the one that goes on top. You put the Philadelphia spread. And then just to top it off, you get some Smith's potato chips. And just chuck it in there.
Now, you can hear last time, he was just pushing the envelope so far out of sandwich bounds. This breaks every rule in the sandwich book. It has no right to work. But I couldn't knock it last night. Now that I've got it in my hands, it's sturdy. It feels like something special is about to happen.
Well, you know what I liked about Mick? He was definitely prepared. He added extra to it. And, you know, I mean, it's a good combination. I think it's the Italian, Aussie, maybe French version with the layers.
So many condiments, so many sauces, so many bits to this. Here we go.
The Philly cheese, oh, that's what I was down with. I was like, yeah, and then Vegemite and peanut butter. And I got crunchy peanut butter.
Wow. Oh, God. In the words of Matt Preston.
There's some dishes that are freakish Frankenstein disasters. And quite frankly, that... is disgusting. Disgustingly good.
It's bloody amazing!
Yes! Mick, you legend!
Holy hell! Give me more!
I love it. It's a real man sandwich. It's sturdy, it's got variety, it doesn't go in your beard, Danny, there's no leftovers.
I'm crunching to the beat. In the words of Britney Spears, give me more. Three great sandwiches. Don't knock them till you try them. It's all up on the socials if you want a replicator. Oh, it's been a good night for sandwiches.
This phrasing needs to be spaced out for tension. The quarterfinals.
It's as cold as
the top eight phrases of the year on the Danny Lakey Show.
Phrases. Me with your phrases.
Follows a fairies phone book, for God's sake.
Quarterfinal night on the Danny Lakey Show, the top eight phrases of the year. The Grand Slam of phrase tournaments in 2021. Eight have to become four. Looking to send four phrases through to the semi-finals tomorrow night. One of these phrases will be crowned Australia's favourite phrase. What a journey, what a process. We have our jury members. Tonight's jury are Chris. Good evening, Chris.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Sounds like a real straight shooter. Shane, good evening to you.
How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. And Andy, are you there?
Yes, bud.
Great. So, members of the jury, I must insist that these will be individual decisions. Collectively, you will decide who goes through to the next round in each of the four quarterfinals. All you need to do is think from the heart and speak from the head. First phrases. As useless as a G-rated porno versus more chins than a Chinese phone book. Andy.
Chinese phone book.
Open and shut case. Chris.
G-rated porno, mate.
Wow. Shane, that leaves you with the ultimate deciding vote for quarterfinal number one. As useless as a G-rated porno or more chins than a Chinese phone book?
It's a tough one. I actually like both of those. Mm. I'd probably have to go more for useless as a G-rated porno.
What a phrase!
It's through. The first semi-finalist. And the tournament director, not going to lie, he was a little worried about the more chins than a Chinese phone book getting through to the final, even though it's offensive to people with double chins, not Chinese people. The next quarterfinal. Busier than a one-armed paperboy versus more excuses than a pregnant nun. Shane.
I'd have to go the pregnant nun on that one.
One vote, pregnant nun. Chris.
I think busier than a one-armed paperboy might be just a bit better.
Wow. Andy.
The nun.
The nun with all the excuses in the book.
What a phrase! It's...
The promiscuous nun is through to the semi-final. Quarter-final number three of four. As empty as a politician's promise versus as tight as a fish's ass. Chris.
Oh, geez, I'm going to have to go with the fish's ass in this one.
Yeah, it's very tight. You can't argue with that. As empty as a politician's promise may be, a fish's ass is always tighter. Andy.
As tight as a fish's asshole.
Tight as a fish's asshole. And just for officialness, Shane.
Yeah, I'd have to go as tight as a fish's ass.
What a phrase!
It's the first straight sets. Made mincemeat of the competition. Through to the semis tomorrow night. The final quarterfinal. Tighter than two coats of paint versus higher than a hippie at Woodstock. Shane.
Higher than a hippie at Woodstock, I reckon.
Andy.
I'd have to agree. Higher than hippie at Woodstock.
Really resonating with the audience tonight. And Chris.
Oh, mate, I cannot believe the number one seed got taken out two in a row. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, they are both absolutely solid phrases, but my personal favourite was higher than hippie at Woodstock. So it's another clean slate.
Look, it's another clean slate. It's another straight set. And big news, big headline. The number one seed has been eliminated.
What a phrase!
In the quarterfinals by higher than a hippie at Woodstock. Look, it's huge. We have our semi-finalists for tomorrow night. Thank you, jurors. Eight have become four.
Danny Lakey on Triple M.
Calls for Lotto to be more winnable. People have called on the operator of the National Lottery in the UK to make the draw more winnable. Bernard Durkin said there should be an investigation after no winner of the top lotto jackpot in almost 6 months. The twice-weekly National Lottery draw has rolled over 46 times since it was last won on 6th of June. Is this a lotto issue or a marketing issue? It sounds not enough people are buying tickets for it to go off. Mr. Durkin said the jackpot has been stuck on 19 million euros since September. What's going on, he said. We need a full investigation and an audit into the draw. He added, I'm not saying anything odd has happened, but it's the longest run in the history of the game, so we need a bit of reassurance. The lotto system is flawed. I think it's at least a little bit flawed. I always feel sorry for those people that are watching the lotto draw live with their ticket and realize they won, and maybe what? It's like a $40 million Powerball draw on a Tuesday night. And they realize they've got every single number and then the Powerball. And in their head, before they get to go to the news agents and gash it in the next day, they think, oh my God, like, I've got $40 million. Our life's going to change forever. Let's quit our jobs and everything. And they rock up the next day, realize that 14 other people have won. Now they're just splitting like $2 million minus tax, what, 1.2? If you're lucky, pay off the mortgage, back to your normal life. It's not much. It's really not much. I'd rather know where I stand to pick up just a cheeky Div 3, 220,000, know that I've got to pay a bit of tax, but oh, that's cool. That's a nice little buffer. I don't think I could deal with the disappointment of basically becoming a $40 million net worth guy and then realizing the next day, no, I've basically just paid off the last half of my mortgage. It's not enough for me. And I don't want to sound spoilt, but it's not enough for me. Mr. Durkin continued, I call on the chief executive of Premier Lotteries Ireland to drop a couple of balls as a mark of good faith and make the draw more winnable. Oh, he wants to reduce the balls. In 1988, there was 36 balls, he said. 39 in 1992. Now there's 42 in 1994, 45 in 2006, before reaching a hefty 47 balls in 2015. It's never going to stop. I've graphed out the trajectory of the balls. It's just going to keep going up and up. I've never agreed with Premier Lottery's decision to increase the number of balls to 47, he said. Well, be careful what you wish for, because you don't want to go too far the other way back down. You don't want to reduce the balls so much, because the higher the chances of winning, the lower the reward of dividends. Welcome, everyone, to tonight's Powerball draw. $14 million on offer tonight in Division 1. Good luck to everyone. All you need is one correct number and that elusive Powerball. As always, our draw officials and government supervisor watching on. Last week's draw saw 13 million lucky winners walk away with Division 1, all pocketing a cool $2.44 each. First number out tonight is number 5. Tonight's draw is the 11,019th draw since Powerball began. We've changed the lives of over 12.8 billion Australians in Queensland alone. Next ball out is number 2. Remember, you can play Powerball and register for your ticket in over 700,000 locations across the country. And finally, the Powerball is number 3. Hope you were lucky tonight. Remember, if you weren't so lucky, who knows, maybe nobody correctly picked the 3 winning numbers between 1 and 7. It could always jackpot next week. It's never happened before, but you never know. See you then. Bye for now.
It's time to play everyone's favourite game, Identify the VoiceOver Guy's Wrong Song Lyrics.
Please welcome to the stage.
Yeah, we did this last Friday, and the VoiceOver Guy, there's just no end to the amount of songs that he knows the tune of, he knows the pitch, he knows the melody, he knows the cadence, he just doesn't know the lyrics of said songs. Asked him today, oi, VoiceOver Guy, belt down a couple of lines, pretend you're at a karaoke bar, and you got to sing Smash Mouth's All Star.
Lay down with a porn star, shave your mo off, get laid.
Not the lyrics, VoiceOver Guy. The aim of the game is you listen to the VoiceOver Guy singing a song. It'll obviously be the wrong lyrics. You need to call up 133353, let us know the song and or the artist. You get that right. Well, $100 YouFoods voucher coming your way. Try the new high-protein YouFoods fueled range now. Shop at YouFoods.com. Like I said, we did this last Friday. It was a lot of fun. 133353. If you know what the VoiceOver Guy is trying to sing here.
That's me with a hot pie, feeding it to a pigeon.
Come on. 133353, if you know the answer to that. He's going to give us the song title or artist. Get to level 5, score yourself the $100 voucher. One more time.
That's me with a hot pie, feeding it to a pigeon.
Cam in Randwick, hello.
How are you, Danny?
Good, thank you. You reckon you know the answer to the first one?
He's not even warm, is he?
No, he's not even warm. He thinks he's piping hot. He thinks he's scalding.
Mate, how about, it's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
There we go. That's me in the spot, take note, VoiceOver Guy. R.E.M., losing my religion. That is the first one. Okay, here's the second one, Cam. Got to get to number 5 to score the $100 YouFoods voucher. Here we go.
I I've chopped off my thumb.
I can't see it there.
It fell on the floor,
covered in my hair.
Any ideas for that one, Cam?
Mate, I haven't got a clue.
Really? It's hard for me to gauge because I obviously have the answers in front of me. So the second I know the answer, I can hear it in my head. But yeah, I get it. We're flying blind out there. All right, thanks for playing,
Cam. Absolutely, mate. The first one was good, not that one, bro.
No. He's just as wrong, though. Thanks, Cam. Daniel in Melbourne, hello.
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, gotcha.
You reckon you know this one?
Yeah, numb Linkin Park.
There we go. I reckon it was on the tip of a lot of people's tongues.
Feeling very confident for that one. Yeah. I don't know about the next.
All right. Well, look, some people's brains fire in this way. I think the trick is not to concentrate too much on the voiceover guy's lyrics. Like, I think you really just have to be real melody focused for this. Here's the third one.
Yeah, the spatula, the ladle and the wooden spoon. Tossing up a cake in the afternoon.
Any idea for this one, Daniel?
No idea.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He's going to tap out. G'day, Shane in Port Melbourne.
Hey, how are you, Danny?
I am good. Any idea you want me to play it again, or you reckon you got the answer?
Is it Cats in the Cradle?
And the cats in the cradle and the soup. Whipping up a cake in the afternoon.
Nice.
Whatever the voiceover guy reckons it was. Good. Okay, good news. Two to go. Two to go for the $100 U-Foods voucher. Here we go. Oh, the voiceover guy, he said, warning, rude song coming up. I don't remember any rude lyrics in this song. This is weird.
Because I'm pissing, baby. Yeah, I'm pissing in my G-string.
Any ideas, Shane?
I think it's Aerosmith. Is it Don't Miss a Thing Tonight?
I'll take it. Don't want to miss a thing yet. Nice. The voiceover guy can even bamboozle the biggest of Aerosmith fans. He's like, oh, what? I feel I'm mixing now the actual lyrics with the voiceover guy's stupid little covers. Okay, here's the final one. This is Match Point. $100 U-Foods voucher if you get this one correct.
I'm ready, mate.
Here we go.
Sucking on an orange peel. Throw the skins away.
It's Red Hot Chili Peppers. Sorry, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. Oh, I can hear you when I'm playing the answer.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Wow.
Oh, he loves it. Loves his own work, yes.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Danny.
No worries, Shane. Enjoy that $100 U-Foods voucher coming your way. Do some damage with that.
Absolute U-Foods. Legend. Thank you so much.
Oh, manners. Impeccable. How much do they cost you? Absolutely nothing. A leap we could all take out of that man.
Daddy Lakey.
Triple M.